This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
They called the Prophet ﷺ names. Poet, magician. Why? They want to discredit the source. Nowadays, what do they call Muslims? Terrorists. Fanatics, fundamentalists, and the purpose again is one. Yes, we had something from the students online.
Some people said also that they were boycotted.
Yes, boycotts. It was used later on, and it will come with us, inshallah. They used the boycotts. Sanctions against the Muslims. What else?
War.
War. Well, at that time, there was no real war. Like two groups fighting each other, there was no combat, but there was physical abuse, which is happening also nowadays. Many Muslims are abused physically. What else? Emotional abuse, of course. They use all different types. Anything that will help stopping this da'wah, they will use it. One of the things they used, argument and dispute. And Allah mentioned that in the Quran. First, they said, how could a man become a prophet? We want an angel. You should not be a prophet. Why you are the prophet? Why not that man? You're not the richest person. This is another argument. How we will be resurrected after life, after we decay, after our bodies disintegrated, you claim that we will be resurrected again? They denied the resurrection. They denied having one God only. أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عُجَابٌ. That's so strange. All these are methods used by the kuffar to stop the da'wah. Just like nowadays. Again, that's the point of studying the seerah. You compare what the disbelievers did and what they are doing now. Nowadays, we have similar issues. Women rights, jihad, and all these issues. How do you respond? You need to go back to the Quran, to the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they used many methods. Media. Just like nowadays. They used the media at the time of the Messenger ﷺ. One man, he paid money to go and to learn things to come and say it to deviate the people from listening to the Messenger ﷺ and to listen to him. Money. Just like nowadays. They may offer you money just to stop specific things. They offered the Prophet ﷺ. They told him, what's wrong with you? You want to become our king? We will make you our king. You need to marry? We will let you choose the best, the most beautiful lady. So it's not only abuse. Sometimes they use money as well. So these are different ways the kuffar used to offend and to attack Islam. And it is mentioned in the book from page 44 until 62. It's very important. You have to read it. Every single page, every single line with details. It's very important. And I will ask you about these things in the exam. Now, the persecution started. The kuffar, they refused to listen to the Prophet ﷺ. At the beginning, the da'wah was in secret. Now it became public. And the kuffar had to stop this. One of the methods they used, the persecution, the physical abuse. Who was the first martyr in Islam? Who was the first martyr? Sumayya bint Khayyat, radiallahu anha. She was a woman. She was killed by Abu Jahl. She and her husband. And their son, Ammar, radiallahu anha, he was abused as well. Why? just because he said La ilaha illallah. That's their crime. They just believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And they were abused to the extent they were killed in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, what happened to him? He used to recite the Quran in the night, and women, disbelievers, they used to come and listen, and they liked that. The people came and they asked him to stop, and he refused. They gathered and they fought him. They abused him. His face was covered with blood until he was unable to see. But all what he cared about is the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is he okay? If he's okay, I don't care. Almost all the believers, almost all of them, last time we talked about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was physically harmed and abused also by his uncle, by the kuffar Abu Jahl and Al-Walid ibn Mughira and the other people, Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt, when he put the womb of the she camel on the neck of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Almost all the believers, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he was a shepherd and he was not from Quraysh, so it was easy for Quraysh to torture him, and they did that. Khabbab ibn al-Arat, do you know what happened to Khabbab radiallahu anhu? He was a slave to a woman. He was a blacksmith, and the blacksmith, he deals with what? With iron, swords, shields, anything with iron. What did she do? She used to heat that iron until it is fire, and she used to put it on his back until his flesh is melting. That's what happened to Khabbab radiallahu anhu. For what? What did he do? He just believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Bilal radiallahu anhu, what happened to him? Yes. He used to be taken in the day to the desert in summer when it's too hot and he doesn't have any clothes, and they put him on the desert, on the sand. You could imagine. Try to walk barefooted. Try just to walk for 1 minute and see what will happen to your feet. Imagine all your back on the sand. And not only that, they put a heavy rock over his chest. But he persevered. So again, when we study these stories, we don't just enjoy them, we say, mashallah, they persevered. We have to follow them. We have to show perseverance as well. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from these trials, because maybe we will not persevere. But we show respect to the companions. They persevered and they showed the steadfastness in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Almost, as I said, any new Muslim, Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he heard about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He wanted to verify, is he a true messenger or not? When he believed, he announced that, I am a believer. And they used to hit him until he passes out. Until Al-Abbas radiallahu anhu, he comes and he says, don't you know that he is from the tribe of Ghifar? We have business with them. If you harm him, maybe they will cut off all their business with us. This happened 3 times in a row, in 3 days. Now, this is the question. Why almost every single Muslim was subject to torture? Isn't the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the Muslims? Why they had to go through these difficulties? Yeah, and then what?
When war comes, you know,
Now, this da'wah, it is fresh. It's still new. Always new projects, new things. They need strong people. They need people believe in what they are saying, in what they are doing. There was no chance to let people who did not have strong iman. Because again, you are at the beginning, but in the future, there will be many things going on. There will be lots of things. And if you did not learn from the beginning perseverance, you'll not be able to continue. Including the Prophet ﷺ, the Messenger ﷺ himself. The first moment he received the da'wah, did Jibreel ﷺ come nicely and he telling him, glad tidings, you are a messenger of Allah? He squeezed him. This is an indication that it's not an easy thing. You are a Muslim, it's a privilege, but it's responsibility. You are responsible before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a trust. What did you do with that? So it is very important. Then the kuffar, they could not get what they want. They abused the Muslims. They tried hard, but they could not get what they want. So they moved, they went to Abu Talib, the uncle of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they told him, tell your cousin to stop. So he came to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he told him, look what your people are saying. They are offering you a good thing. They will give you whatever you want, just stop it. Don't cut the ties, the kinship. Because some Muslims, they abandon all their relatives. The relatives actually, their family abandoned them. So they had to cut the ties of the kinship. Prophet ﷺ told him no. So he came back, Abu Talib, to the people, and he asked them to stop, because he will not tell his cousin again. He will not tell the Messenger ﷺ to stop. Then we have another abuse to the Messenger ﷺ from his uncle again. His uncle, he was not only rude the moment he heard that the Prophet ﷺ is a messenger, and he told him, Tabban lak, is that why you brought us here? It was not enough for his uncle to put the trash. He was the neighbor of the Messenger ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ used to target people during the season of Hajj, because there were lots of people, and he wanted to inform people about Islam. So Abu Lahab used to walk behind the Prophet ﷺ in the season of Hajj. Imagine the Prophet ﷺ is telling the people, I am the Messenger of Allah, and his uncle from the back telling the people, don't believe in him, I am his uncle and I know him better than you. That's what he used to do. And not only that, his two sons, they were engaged to the two daughters of the Prophet ﷺ, Ruqayya and Kulthum, and they divorced them. Again, this is another type of hardship that you have to go through. It's not only physical, but it is spiritual. It is psychological war. They want to degrade your nobility in the society, your importance. You are nothing. That's what they were trying to do. And the Prophet ﷺ had to go through all this. Yes. Yes. Yes, it is not easy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Did people think that they will say, we are a believer, we believe, yet they will not be tested? وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّا الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. We have indeed examined the people before them. We have tested them. That's the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want something, the more expensive it is, the more sacrifices you have to give. If you want to purchase expensive car, you have to sacrifice a lot. You have to pay a lot. The same thing, you have paradise. So you have to work harder. Mus'ab ibn Umair, another example of the Muslims who were abused. And I'm mentioning Mus'ab in particular because most of the people who became Muslims, they were weak. Some of them were strong. Some of them were merchants, like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. But we have Mus'ab is an example of the youth who was living at that time what we call in our time the American dream. He was very rich, he was young, and he had everything. He was spoiled by his family, by his mother in particular, yet he left all that for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mus'ab radiallahu anhu, he was so rich to the extent that if he walked in a route in Mecca, they used to know that Mus'ab was here. The perfume he used to wear was important, was brought to him exclusively from India. And he left all these privileges. For what? For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was tested. His family used to tie him in his house. He used to starve. But he did not leave the religion. He did not leave Islam. Now the Quran, when we say it is another source of the seerah, we have many of these incidents mentioned in the Quran. Surah Al-Humazah is an example. وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ الَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدَهُ يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَهُ. Do you memorize this surah? It is in the 30th juz. What does it talk about? What's the humaza, the lumaza? No, the humaza and the lumaza, the one who mocks the others with his words or with some motions with his hands. Yes. And the humaza and the lumaza is one of the kuffar in Mecca. So go back and see the ayah is talking about which man. What did he do? What did he do? Behind the Prophet ﷺ, behind the Muslims. He used to mock at the Muslims. When they come, again, who were the Muslims at that time? The slaves, the poor people. He looks at them and he says, look at the kings of the earth. Making fun of them because they were slaves. They were abused. They were weak. They did not have any power. And he's telling, look at the kings of the earth. He's telling his friends. Indeed, they became the kings of the earth eventually. But at that time, they were weak. What's the point behind this? To make fun of them. Once you hear that you are weak, you are weak, you are weak, you will believe that you are weak. That's what they were trying to do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned part of the ordeal, what happened to the Muslims. This is one example, Surah Al-Humazah. Another example, Surah Al-Qalam. وَلَا تُطِعْ كُلَّ حَلَّافٍ مَهِينٍ هَمَّازٍ مَشَّاءٍ بِنَمِيمٍ مَنَّاعٍ لِلْخَيْرِ مُعْتَدٍ أَثِيمٍ عُتُلٍّ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ زَنِيمٍ أَنْ كَانَ ذَا مَالٍ وَبَنِينٍ إِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِ آيَاتُنَا قَالَ أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ سَنَسِمُهُ عَلَى الْخُرْطُومِ. All these ayat are talking about one of the kuffar. It was said his name was Al-Akhnas ibn Shariq. He accused the Prophet ﷺ of lying. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this Quran defending his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And instead of one thing that he lied against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah mentioned 10 true things against this man. 10 true things about this man. He exposed that man. One of these things, that his illegal son for his father. And no one knew about it. So this man was exposed. So again, this is part of the war that was going on. And the Quran is the source to tell us what was happening. Surah Al-Muddathir, again. Surah Al-Muddathir, it mentioned also part of this war. Al-Akhnas ibn Shariq. ذرني ومن خلقت وحيدا وجعلت له مالا ممدودا وبنين شهودا ومهدت له تمهيدا ثم يطمع أن أزيد كلا إنه كان لآياتنا عنيدا. Go back to the tafsir and see the ayah is talking about which kafir, which disbeliever. And then the same surah is talking about another one. لَوَّاحَةٌ لِلْبَشَرْ عَلَيْهَا 19. When Allah mentioned that there are 19 angels guarding the hellfire, Abu Jahl came and he said, you know what? I will take care of 10 of them. And you take care of the 9. He told the people. So Allah revealed the ayah. وَمَا جَعَلْنَا أَصْحَابَ النَّارِ إِلَّا مَلَائِكَةً. Those guards, they are angels. They are not human beings, you stupid. He thought that it's easy for him. وَمَا جَعَلْنَا عِدَّتَهُمْ إِلَّا فِتْنَةً. The number that we mentioned is fitna. It's a test. So this is part of the war. When you read the Quran, don't just read the words like that. Think and reflect on the meanings of these ayat. The same story, Allah mentioned it in another surah, Surah Al-Alaq. فَلْيَدْعُ نَادِيَهُ. Let he call his club, his buddies, his friends. سَنَدْعُ الزَّبَانِيَةُ. We'll call the angels of punishment. زَبَانِيَةُ, what's the meaning of زَبَانِيَةُ? The angels. كَلَّا لَا تُطِعْهُ وَاسْجُدْ وَاقْتَرِبْ. So again, all these are part of the war against the kuffar. Now, some Muslims, they tried to pray in group. At the beginning, anyone tried to show any sign of Islam, he was abused. Physically abused, he was tortured. Until Muslims became a little bit like a group, so they wanted to pray together. And again, they were offended. No one was allowed to fight back because they were few. You may be excited, you want to fight back, but they were commanded not to until they established the Islam, until they become strong Muslims. Then they could fight. But at that time, they were not allowed to do so. So in one time, the kuffar were fighting the Muslims, and that was the first time one Muslim dared to fight back, which was Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu. And it was known that this was a benchmark in this seerah. It was a precedence where a Muslim was able to do something. Again, Sa'd radiallahu anhu, he was a noble man. But once he became a Muslim, he lost lots of things. But he was unable to let it go, so he fought back. And it was known that the first blood was shed in Islam, it was by Sa'd radiallahu anhu. If you want to have a successful da'wah, you should have a center where you meet, where you plan. And the Prophet ﷺ did that. The Messenger ﷺ, he had a place called Darul Arqam. In Darul Arqam, people used to meet the Muslims in secret. And for 3 years, the kuffar did not know that place. Even after the da'wah became public, they still did not know that place. This tells you the well planning and the leadership of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now why they chose a place? If something wrong happened to someone, imagine you are walking down the street and something wrong happened, what do you do? To whom you turn? Where do you go? You go to the police. You want to file a complaint. You call 911. That's what they tell you. At that time, the Muslim, if there is no government, or if the government itself is against you, where do you go? Who will help you? So they had Dar al-Arqam. It was the center for their da'wah. Every successful da'wah, it has to have something in shared, in common. Even the kuffar, did they have a similar thing? They had. What did they have? Exactly, they had Dar al-Nadwa. Dar al-Nadwa was the center for the kuffar as well, because they were organized also. And they tried hard to stop the da'wah. So you learn from this, organization is important. All these steps were done by the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If you want to do successful da'wah, we have to learn from these things. So now, Muslims are persevering. They are abused. They are tortured. Some of them are killed. Things are not getting better. They are getting worse and worse. What should happen? What would you do? You're calling people to Islam. They are refusing. They are not taking it easy. They are increasing their abuse. The animosity is growing bigger and bigger. What do? You move. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah in Surah Az-Zumar, وَأَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةٌ. Spacious is Allah's earth. It's not narrow, it's not small, it is spacious. That was an indication that you could move. So they did move indeed. And that was the first migration. Where did they go? They went to Habasha, Abyssinia. Why? There was a just king. Muslims were allowed to move. Why they were allowed to move? For safety. You want to secure the da'wah. If something wrong happened in Mecca, there are still people who carried this da'wah. It was a strategical move from the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that he asked some companions to move. And they moved. Who was their leader? Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. Look at the map. Now, here is Saudi Arabia. And almost here is Mecca. And Abyssinia is just southwest. But there was a sea in the middle. And they had to go through the sea. Now again, they did not move north or south or east. They moved west for a reason. This man, although he was not Arab, he was not Muslim, yet he was just. So, and sometimes, as long as you can secure the da'wah, you have to do so. That was the priority. The priority was not to go to a Muslim person. The priority was not to go to someone from your family. The priority at that time was to go to a place, a safe place, where you could worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safely. So now we discuss it and we ask, could Muslims have shelter under Christian ruler? Yes? Why? For safety. Now this happened at that time. Does that mean it is permissible to have it nowadays? With valid reasons, yes. Yes, this is one of the lessons that we learn. Again, being Christian does not mean you are 100% bad. The Prophet ﷺ acknowledged that this king is just. And was that a successful move or not? Of course. Muslims there, they were safe and they could worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you need to know, when did this migration take place? How many people were? All this is mentioned in the book. Imagine yourself taking control of everything happening, and something important happens while you don't know. Will you be happy with that? You are trying to take control of everything, and something slips. That's exactly what's the reaction of the kuffar. They thought that they own the Muslims. They can do whatever they want. Every day they wake up, where are those people? Let us torture them. Let us do whatever we want. Out of the sudden, one day they wake up and they find that some of them slipped away. How dare they leave this place without asking our permission? Did they say, okay, let them leave? What can we do? They ran away? No. They followed them, but it was too late. Once they reached the seashore, the Muslims already departed. They already left. Again, to that extent, they were fighting Islam. So don't tell me nowadays it's more difficult than the time of the Messenger of Allah. There's no way. We don't have excuse. The kuffar knew that the Muslims already left. They tried their best to stop them, and they followed them. That was the level of their animosity. And they are your relatives. Imagine if someone stranger, you could understand this, but your relatives, your family, this is what they are doing to you. That was their animosity. So they left there, and they remained there for some time. In the meantime, in Mecca, there was an important incident happening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Surah An-Najm. وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. This surah was revealed. At the end of this surah, there is what? What's at the end of this surah? There is sajda. There is sujood. So the kuffar prostrated with the Muslims. And the news came out and it reached the Muslims in Abyssinia that the kuffar became Muslims. So they were happy and they wanted to come back, and they came back. And to their surprise, they hear that it was only rumors. It was a lie. And now the situation became worse and worse. You are the one who left without our permission. You think you'll get away with it? Now you will see what we will do. Things are getting more difficult. And with this, inshallah, we will stop our session for today. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبي محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.